Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm with Trent Hayson from the Roby Family of Companies. We are your hosts, Roby Services. Get it all done by one. Aren't we supposed to say that?
No? Roby Services. Is that? That's
Roby Commercial.
Do you work in that business?
The Roby Family of Companies.
Yeah, there you go. The Roby Family, like my hat says.
Like my hat. I don't have a hat.
We don't have Sarah in the house today.
Dude, someone's got to keep us in order.
You only wear the hat when she's going to be here recording.
With the hat?
Never wear a hat.
I always wear a hat.
I mean, no, you're like, my helmet's too good.
So when I'm meeting people that I don't think they're going to wear hats, like for like lunch or breakfast, I don't wear my hat strategically. But if I feel like there are going to be somebody that doesn't mind that might wear a hat in their office,
why don't you wear your hat and then formally take your hat off when you're eating a meal?
I do that.
That's what I do.
I do that. But see, I got this mane up on top of my head. It gets all jacked up when I wear a hat.
Well, I have the complete opposite, but I had to get over that. I have like four hairs, and if they get misplaced, it's trouble.
Yeah. See, mine started looking. I started looking like Sideshow Bob. They started going everywhere, so I got to be careful with that.
Mine just go down the middle. Yeah. Show a lot of skin.
I hear you.
If I'm not fresh out in the shower, my hair would be getting matted down. A little slick.
Nah, so there's a character, his name's Flint Lockwood. And back when, you know, my daughter's 12 and she's getting, you know, to the stage where she's, you know, a little cool for hanging out with us. I get it. I was there when I was 12. So back when she was younger, she said, "Dad, you look like Flint Lockwood."
Wow. He's got good hair.
He's got nice hair.
Man, you know what I did last week?
What'd you do?
I did two things. I did one thing because I talked about attending Berkshire on the last show because I came home for a day and recorded the show.
I need to hear more about
And then
that.
I went kiteboarding.
Oh, you did? Okay, your trip
out
with
the Outer Banks, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Clay Grubb,
Arthur Salmon, my homies, Rob Krause, great group of people, David Strickland. David Strickland hadn't been on the radio. He said his business down in Birmingham is private. I said, "Yes, sir."
Gotcha.
We had a good time though.
Well, so
I mean, we stay in this condo at the place, and you got Arthur and Clay in one condo unit across the hall. We're directly across the hall, and there's like 18 of us, but these are our two rooms. Then you have me, Rob Krause, and David Strickland across the hall. And we didn't shut our door one time in 4 days. Day, night.
Oh, that's cool.
Just stayed open. So we walked back and forth. You know, it's like a house.
No, that's cool.
But we had a good time. I think this is my fourth time with a coach multiple days. And I think I did the best I've ever done. I still am a rookie. I still could not go do this sport without a coach.
But you did it. That's great. I mean, I've watched people do it from afar. It looks pretty legit.
It's a very difficult sport.
Yeah. Well, I'll tie this together a little bit. Not this Monday, but the Monday before, we got to participate at a groundbreaking for the Ballantine, the Bowl at Ballantine, a Ballantine reimagined with Northwood Raven through our relationship with John Marino and OMB.
Oh, right.
And the Samet guys are working there as well, and they got a nice shout-out from one of the fellas there that was putting on the program. So it was cool to kind of tie that full circle.
Well, I hope that people think we have a great business because they think I'm a good person, and Arthur Samet is a great person, so I would think you see Samet all over town building these multifamily apartments everywhere.
And obviously he is, as you mentioned, he is a alumni to the radio show. He came on that was pre-COVID because he came into the studio. And that was a pretty memorable show. I think they were talking about how they do some office pranks around their office.
Really?
If you recall, yeah.
I don't recall.
You don't recall? You don't recall?
I don't recall
I played
or
the
anything.
Fifth. Nothing. But, he was a very memorable person. And so is Clay Grubb.
And,
I think he's going to show
and
too.
He has. And the Outer Banks are just cool. I don't get out there much. I flew into Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay, and drove down.
And then we flew out back to Charlotte from the Outer Banks. But I was coming out of Atlanta. So we drove past where the Gravedigger home office is, and they got like a little amusement park area. You can go ride a monster truck and over the course.
Oh, that's cool.
I got to take the kids, man. Yeah,
did you? So when you flew into Norfolk, did you go underneath that huge tunnel to get out of Norfolk?
I don't think so.
Or maybe you can come down the, by the coast, but there's
a crazy tunnel. We were looking at the map coming from Norfolk through the Outer Banks because I think this is mid or southern Outer Banks where we go. And you're like on this scrawny, skinny piece of land the whole time.
It's cool.
It is really neat.
It's beautiful.
I mean, it is a beautiful part of this world. So I need to take the kids. The kids have never been. Reagan's never been. We need to do a big road trip and go stay at Rial. Give Rial a plug. That's the kiting school. They got housing. They got a cool restaurant. People just go hang out, too, that don't kite. And then you're about 45 minutes south of Kitty Hawk.
Yeah, okay.
You go see where the Wright brothers.
That's
right. We rode right past there from Norfolk. You're by, you know, you got the monster truck, Gravedigger, and then you got other stuff too, Oregon Inlet and stuff like that.
Yeah,
fishing.
We do some fishing at Oregon Inlet.
I've done that a couple times myself.
What's so wild is if you really look at the state of North Carolina, I mean, you are way out in the Atlantic Ocean at that point.
It's crazy.
We just sort of slant up there. That's like a 25-degree angle.
And where we kite. 25, okay.
By way of the protractor.
The protractor.
Remember that thing?
I do. But where we kite, the sound side is, it has like 5 miles of water with really good wind and a couple little sandy islands, and it's all about 4 or 5 feet deep, so it's really cool. That's where the kiting happens. And then if there's not good wind, which I got to do this one day, first time ever, I surfed, learned to surf, got up for a couple seconds. But my coach was a surf coach and a kite coach, 18-year-old kid. Go across and you have ocean with good waves, like good surfing.
Yeah.
Relative to the East Coast. My coach, 18-year-old kid, living on his own, lived on his own since he was 16, took his last 2 years of schooling online, got his diploma a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Put together.
There you go.
Man, you know what you call that? You call that gnarly. Who we got with us today? Dave Codray from Atlanta. My good friend, big golfer, probably going to talk some golf.
The ATL.
Greenleaf.
That's property management.
Yeah, property management.
Real estate investments.
Let's go.
Yep.
Down our alley. Thanks for tuning in at Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby Family of Companies. The Roby Family of Companies, get it all done by one.
I hear you, man. You are plugging them hard today.
I'm getting better at it.
TJ came with the band. Man.
He did. I can't hear anything anymore, but that was great music.
I mean, I think.
Evidently.
I don't know if I sound a little nasally today talking about me kiteboarding. I ate so much water, I've been clogged up for a couple days, and I think TJ just helped me not loosen some of it up.
Well, Trent, I forgot to take this out. So I'm already a little bit, my hearing's a little bit off. We had a concert fundraiser with Regroup that I recently became a part of, that Jim Rhodes, who's been on the show, included us on. We had a concert at Sugar Creek on Saturday to raise some money, raise a really big chunk of change to go towards The Rock, who's also been on the show, Darren Nash. So it was really cool. So my eardrums are taking a beating.
Can you say how much y'all raised, roughly?
I think it's in the 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't want to jinx That's anything, awesome. But I don't think the official announcement's come out yet. But,
yeah, I'm on the Rock board, Patrick.
I'm aware.
Okay.
So Matt Brewster was really the one who put it on, who's on the Rock board now as well with you.
Yeah.
From MSS.
Workforce development.
That's
For underprivileged youth.
Yeah, which was it was awesome.
Dave Codray, what's up?
Oh, doing great, man.
That's good.
Coming off a weekend entertaining my kids, and yeah.
How are your ears working today?
Well, I think my kids want me to listen to them more, but they're yelling at me, but no. Doing pretty good. I didn't have any concerts. I just have 3 kids running around. That's it.
So you got 3 kids. What do you got? Your oldest is 10?
Yep, 10.
And, so. ten, and you got, what, 10? I'm looking.
10,
7 and 5.
7 and 5.
What you got? What's your gender?
I got a girl and then 2 boys.
How much smarter is your girl than your boys?
Oh, you know, some people joke around like, do you have a favorite kid? And I'm like, no, other than my daughter, I don't. It's different. She's 10. She listens and she's great. And, you know, my 5-year-old, I took him to a dirt track race. You know, that's pretty loud.
Yeah.
Close to that stuff. Those things are super fun, but he loves cars, so.
That's awesome.
That's our weekend entertainment.
How dirty do you and your 5-year-old come out of that race?
Yeah, right?
Oh, I mean, if you sit right on the turn at the dirt tracks, I mean, you're covered in mud when you leave.
I mean, if you've never been to a dirt track race, Patrick, which I'm sure you haven't because you wear buckle shoes, but when those cars come around the curve, man, they're spinning. They're like doing a power slide every half of
the
track, every whole race, really, right?
Yeah.
It is the
– everything.
It's cool.
Buckle shoes.
Yeah, every turn, you know, they're throwing mud and dirt up over the fence into the little crowd right there every time. So, you know, most people are just sitting on the straightaways, but if you go out by the curves, you're going to get covered in mud.
That's where the action happens, huh?
And that's it used to be 20 years ago in Charlotte, I used to hang out with a couple guys that were pretty good at that, pretty high ranking, and they were, like, going to be next level. I stopped hanging out with this crew, but they would have, you know, was an entry into the lower level NASCAR.
So, yeah, I mean, I have never been to one of those races before, but I have heard you talk about it, and I've heard other people talk about it, so it sounds like a pretty daggone fun time.
Well, maybe Codre will take you.
Codre can take me, yes.
Would love to. There's tracks all over the place, too.
Yeah, they're a lot easier to construct and maintain than a super speedway, right?
I think there's some commas that are different in the super speedway versus the dirt track.
I mean, you are in the real estate business, so I figured you could speak on that.
Yeah.
So, Dave, tell us, where'd you grow up, man?
I grew up in Allentown. So, Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is way north. It's much colder. And then I've been working my way south since then. I went to college in Washington, D.C., and then I've been in Atlanta now since, like, 2010. So, started a business in Atlanta, and I've been there ever since.
So, what'd you go to, Washington and Lee?
I went to George Washington.
George Washington. Washington and Lee isn't even in D.C. See, that was a setup.
Right downtown.
Really?
It's crazy. I kind of grew up way more suburban than going to school in the city, and now I'm back in the suburbs down by Atlanta.
So what suburb are you in Atlanta?
I live in Johns Creek, which is, you know, 45 minutes northeast of Atlanta.
Well, it's funny. So I grew up in Marietta, Georgia, which is a little bit south of there, a little bit probably west, too, I want to say. And I always tell people that I've been moving north progressively, and you've been moving south, so maybe we high-five somewhere along the way. I went to school at Clemson.
We missed each other on the way.
Just missed each other. But I'm not going any further. This is my landing zone. I couldn't deal with that cold weather up there.
Oh, it's way too cold up there.
I can hear it.
Even in Atlanta, I'm like, ooh, man, sometimes it's cold.
I mean, in Charlotte, it gets cold.
These high 30s are killing me.
So you went to undergrad at George Washington. What'd you study?
Finance.
And that is downtown Washington. That is a cool place, though.
It's like 2 blocks from the White House.
That's crazy.
So you're literally right there.
So you studied finance. You come out of college. What'd you do after that?
Then I was kind of the search of what finance company you're going to work for, a consulting company, and I ended up with a consulting firm out of D.C. And I was with them a bunch of years and worked in a real estate group there some and traveled all over the country. And then that's kind of how I found out about Atlanta. I was like, it's got nice weather, good real estate opportunities, and some better golf.
So a little birdie told me that you worked in New Bern doing some consulting on a real estate.
Yeah,
a military base down there.
Yeah, well, going through my where have I been in North Carolina on the way down south, it's like there's a military base that we did some finance consulting for. So I was in New Bern, and it's a tiny little town, but I loved traveling and going through everything there. We were driving there from Washington, D.C., so it's a little bit of a road trip, which was always fun.
Really? I mean, you know, we had an office down in Atlantic Beach for about 10 years. We had a closer down, but I know that area pretty well. New Bern's pretty close to that, right?
Yeah.
A lot of military guys there, men and women. So
yeah, it's a fun area, but you know, consulting out of D.C., I traveled. You know, we're traveling every other week, going somewhere. So I got to see a lot of cool places, and that's ultimately how I figured out wanted to be down towards Atlanta.
So was all your consulting in the real estate industry?
No, it was general finance stuff. I mean, we were we had lots of other, we worked like American Express. We worked with some big companies and we worked with government agencies and then some smaller stuff in the roof, but geared towards finance and a little bit of real estate. I was trying to get into real estate as much as I could. So, but you kind of start at the bottom of an organization. So I didn't necessarily get to say, hey, I'm only doing this. It was, where are they going to send me? And I'll say yes.
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought I would be a good consultant, or I would enjoy consulting.
Yeah, I agree.
Brag on myself. No, here. I like to analyze, but I just kind of, I do it passively, you know, as a hobby. So my wife went to business school and she would tell me all the time, she's like, oh, I hate this class, but you would pay for this class. I said, you are paying for this class.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mama.
No, just, but it is cool to see things. You're coming in as a 757, right? You're seeing things from a different level.
Yeah, it's like case studies, but yeah, you're not the help make change. Why your love for real estate, and why did you want to get back into real estate?
I was always, I got into real estate, first of all, just for the financial part of it, right? I was, what's the best way, opportunity with, what talents I have, can I make a living? And that was like, well, real estate seems like the easiest one for me. And when it really got started was because I could do a lot of the work myself. Mm-hmm. And I saw that as an easy solution, where I could buy some fixer-uppers and fix them up and run them out. And I knew how to do that stuff and I liked it.
Yeah,
that was kind of a natural path there of being able to find ways I can make some extra money on the side.
Yeah. Well, we're in the construction business, but my dad didn't have a 401k or a retirement. So anytime he ever made a little extra money, had a decent year, he would buy a rental house. That was his retirement, and it was pretty simple. So when I got out of college, or while I was even in college, I was always looking at properties and looking at stuff and sizing it up and running my analysis. And then same thing, I go over there till 4 in the morning on a Wednesday night and
fix
and
it,
work
yeah,
on this
right,
house
yeah.
if I had to,
Yeah, and I like the concept of more like immediate feedback. Like you go in, you start working on something, you see it improve. You're like, okay, I did this. It looks good.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. So.
Sounds like you're a tradesman at heart.
I would love to do all that part. A lot of my, my maintenance lead, I'll be doing stuff. He's like shaking his head. He's like, no. You need to, not help me out.
We have a labor shortage. Patrick might want, he might be soliciting.
Hey.
Well, Dave, I want to talk about the business, the real estate business that you're in now. We need to go pay some bills. Will you stick around for a few minutes?
Sure.
We got my good friend Dave Codray from Greenleaf. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. The Roby family of companies get it all done by one.
And if you missed the first couple segments, go back to social media.
We're on it.
We're all over social media. Sarah Strahouse sitting here today.
LinkedIn,
but,
Facebook,
and
Instagram.
If you miss our other shows, you can always podcast them.
You can, yeah. Just you can Google up At Home with Roby or however you get the podcast. But I'm pretty sure they're on all the social media platforms as well.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Patrick. Take it away.
So Dave Codray is our guest. And Dave, you started a real estate business in 2008. Is this right?
Yep. I started buying investment in single family properties before that.
Yep.
And then kind of made it a little more official starting in 2008. But
When did you move to Atlanta? The Atlanta area.
Well, heck, I moved all over. My wife is a physician. And I don't even know where all the places we lived because of that. So we've lived all over the place. I actually moved to Atlanta in like 2016 or 17 or something like that. So I was in Albany, Georgia. We lived in Philadelphia, D.C. Lived everywhere with medical school and residency programs and all that stuff.
So where did you start buying your first properties at?
I started buying stuff in Allentown, Pennsylvania. One of the first houses I bought was like an old row home built in 1862, like a year to go build something. I mean, it was
dang
really cool. I mean, it was super cool building. Like the foundation, it had a stone foundation that had no mortar or anything. It was just rocks fit together.
Really?
Not a single thing was out of place, you know, 150 years later.
This is a single-family home, or?
Correct.
That's crazy.
So that was some of the first stuff I was buying that I would fix up.
And you would be
really old buildings.
You were fixing it up yourself for the most part back then. Is that what you were saying in the last segment?
Correct.
Yeah. So how did you learn how to do all this stuff? You just sort of taught yourself, or?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it feels like a long time ago. It was definitely prior to being able to just look at YouTube to how to figure everything out. So I would say lots of mistakes learning how to do everything. But I enjoyed that stuff. So I didn't really see it as mistakes. It was, it was all good.
I mean, who's building a row house in Allentown, Pennsylvania in 1862 during the middle of the Civil War?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Did you find any artifacts in there?
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, I mean, it had all the, like, old, because, I mean, it had a coal chute to come into the basement. And that was obviously after that, but it had the big stove, like, in the basement, that was used to heat everything. But, I never really got anything that said, like, hey, it's exactly 1862. I don't know how long it took to build stuff, but when you look at the tax records, that's the year it said it was
built. You're like me, 1940, 1862, same deal.
Christopher Columbus.
Let's make it the Civil War. Do you still own that row house?
No, I do not. I owned it for about 10 years, but then I sold it. So.
Do you remember?
I exited all my stuff that's in the Northeast, and I just have stuff in the South now.
Do you remember what you paid for it?
I think I paid about $18,000 for it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he remembers. He's like, let me think back.
Yeah.
You know what you paid for every piece of property you ever bought. Don't tell me the story.
No, I remember some of the original ones that were like definitely like in my head because I'm like, where am I going to come up with that much money? But some of them now are a little foggier of what the actual prices were.
So $18,000. I'm really going to make you dig deep here. Do you remember what you charged for rent for per month, give or take?
$600 a month.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a great return.
That's sweet.
Man.
Interest rates are probably like 9%. Oh, wait, they are the same that now? Anyway, so it's about the same as it was now, right?
Yeah. I had the same tenant, Eric, the entire time. He was there for 10 years.
For 10 years. Man.
That's cool.
He paid $600 flat the whole time, never changed.
Well, I mean, for your first one, I mean, having the same tenant for 10 years, I mean, I can see why you got so excited about the rental business.
I can do this. This isn't that crazy.
Well, Trent was far more forward thinking in this type of thing than I was. I accidentally got into the real estate business by accident because it was a recession, and I had bought two condos, and they were worth half of what I paid for them. And so we kind of had to get in it on the backside. But it was a wonderful lesson. I did not have tenants like you had. We battled for the first 3 years trying to find the right person. But, it's such a great lesson. You talk about it all the time, Trent, and hustle and entrepreneurship is rental properties. And really anybody can get into it.
So, Dave, you got out of all your stuff that was out of the vicinity of the Atlanta region where you live now. Dad used to always tell me if you couldn't drive by it on your way home, don't own it because you got to go out of your way to get to it. I learned that lesson the hard way. But, there's relatives to that lesson. So you started acquiring properties and building a portfolio down there. What does Greenleaf look like today?
It's certainly changed a lot over the years. Started residential and now we've got a lot of commercial assets.
Okay.
So everything from medical to warehouses and a bunch of office, space. But we're predominantly buying the same kind of thing. We're just looking for value add pieces of real estate, whether it's operational issues you got to fix and get your hands dirty on or physical improvements. We're really just looking for real estate that's got problems that we can come in and fix.
Amen. I tell people all the time, I'm an opportunist, and I got to be able to drive by it on my way home, a.k.a. Wilkerson Boulevard.
I was about to say, yeah.
So what do you think is going on with the office market? I want your opinion since you own office properties.
I think there's two pieces of the office market you got to look at. One is the giant towers.
Agreed.
That
with you.
Are hundreds of millions of dollars, and those are out of touch from anything I'm looking at. Those definitely have issues from work at home, and there's not a lot of people in them. And then what I'm mostly buying is more flex, so roll-up doors with some offices in the front, suburban main road locations.
Yep.
That stuff is all doing great.
Smaller size square mm-hmm. footage.
Oh, yeah, like 2,000 to 5,000 square foot offices. Rents are in the low teens versus $40 or $50 a square foot.
Yep.
So we're seeing occupancy gains. We're buying that stuff that is vacant or needs some love. And pick them up, and we're able to rent that space out. But it's I think if you look at someone's commute, they're not commuting downtown.
Right.
It's a small business that's, you know, mostly close to where the owner is.
I like that.
That stuff's doing much better.
Well, you know, you're starting to see this big transition. We've talked about it a little bit from the, you were talking about the high rises. I mean, people are going to have to start making some tough decisions based on the occupancy rates being so high. I've heard some folks even starting to turn these into multifamily positions.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some very creative use of space.
Yeah.
That's coming out of this. And I think that's exciting. I think it's good. You want to see that kind of stuff happen. But what it's ultimately going to be, I think, is pretty open. But I don't necessarily think it's like the people aren't going to be in an office or don't want to, or the whole work from home part. I think it's more that people just don't want the commutes.
Yeah, to pay $600 to park or whatever it costs and then have to fight that when you're trying to leave at 5. So, I mean, you make a good point there.
If people live close to their office, they're probably going to go a little bit more often and be there and see people and that stuff. But trying to convince someone to drive an hour... I think that's where the challenge is at. It's like, hey, you want to go drive an hour every day to do this? I don't think people want to.
Well, I think the office pendulum, even on the big offices in the center cities, is coming back. I think tech companies have done their big rounds of layoffs. I think as earnings disappoint, even in a positive way, they still disappoint a little bit, and they're not as bullish. I think all the CEOs of the big corporations, which you're starting to see, are going to come out and say, we got to get back to work. And my buddy said the other day, when they lay off 5 or 10,000 people, which is terrible because these are people's lives. Mm-hmm. We're the Roby family. We take care of families. But when they do, then they tell everybody else that's employed, you need to get back in the office because our culture needs to be returned and you're more productive. So it's going to be a fine line. And I also think it's more costly to renovate these big offices into apartments or whatever, condos, than doing it on a consulting spreadsheet, Codre.
That is very true. These office towers are not meant for residential, so you got a lot of stuff you'd have to, to convert them.
But also, go ahead.
You know, you talk about the difference in those businesses too. You've got a big publicly traded company with tens of thousands of employees versus the majority of my tenants that are renting office space are a small business with 2,500 square feet.
Yeah.
So it's just a totally different, it's a totally different segment of the economy. And we're kind of lumping them all together into one, but it's pretty different.
I agree. It's not three classes, it's 10 classes. You got, high rise, 100 plus to a million square feet, hundreds of thousands of square feet office, and you got these boutique, like you say, even more kind of mixed use. We have our office across the street. I'm going to walk over there. Has garage doors on it you can lift up on a nice day. It's an old mill building.
Yeah.
Total probably is 24,000 square feet. We rehabbed it. Go ahead.
That's a great size building. I mean, most of the stuff we look at is like 15 to 30,000 square foot buildings.
Got it. Well, Dave, we don't have an agenda for the last segment. Will you stick around for a few more minutes and keep talking real estate? I love this conversation.
Yeah, would love to.
All right, Codre, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haysen from the Roby Family of Companies. We are your hosts, Roby Family of Companies. Get it all done by one. Trent was going to interrupt me there, I think. But, hey, Trent, we got Dave Codre on the show. He's on the Coveted Four segment. We're talking about something I know that you get real excited about, and I love listening and learning about commercial real estate especially. And then Dave's obviously got a lot of experience in residential as well.
Well, I think everybody that listens to the show knows that my wife drives a Sprinter van our five kids.
Yeah.
And in the break, we were talking with Dave about how he finds properties, where he buys properties at. Dave, talk about your platform and how you quote. I don't say this word. I say it all the time. when we're talking, but I don't say that much on the radio, quote, bird dog, go smell the property, touch the property, feel the property.
Yeah, I think it's still like an old school way of finding opportunities. But when, you know, when I first started buying stuff in Atlanta, we picked one road. And we're like, look, we're going to drive up and down this road, Buford Highway, Northeast Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go find anything that we can find that works. We're going to focus on that road. And eventually started driving a little further north to Gainesville, Georgia, and up to Greenville, South Carolina. But back and forth, and I've got a Sprinter van, too. The thing's amazing. Tons of room, and drive up and down basically 85 corridor looking for opportunities.
So you have a Sprinter van. Trent has a Sprinter van. Do you guys have, like, one of those, like, Sprinter van waves like they do with, like, the Jeep Wranglers? Like, they do the little hand wave out the side of the window?
Yeah. I don't think so. Most Sprinter vans are contractors, and they're, like, they're focused. You look at them driving, they're, like, they're getting places.
Either that or you cut them off, they throw you the bird. I mean, one or the other. That's so playing around. That's interesting. So you started at Buford Highway. I mean, you just said, okay, we're going to own Buford Highway. We're going to be a mile deep and an inch wide.
Yep.
Huh.
That's it.
Makes so much sense.
You know, that road, it has a lot of multifamily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it still does now. But there's just a lot of good opportunities there. So it was easy. I lived right in the middle of it. So I didn't have to go far.
I love it, Dave. I take my kids to school, and if I'm looking at a piece of property or something, we'll leave. I'll be like, we're leaving an hour early tomorrow, and then we'll – go, they go, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? And then we're riding by. I keep circling this piece of property like a shark. And they're like, what are you, really? And I'm like, don't worry, kids. One day you'll appreciate this.
I thought about a funny story about circling parking shop that's not radio appropriate. But I've been in some of those circle jobs with you before.
I mean, it's what you say.
That's what you do.
You kind of know how the math works in your head. And if you can kind of get a grasp on what you got to do to rehab the property to get it normalized at whatever class level, you know, occupancy tenant you have, I mean, either it works or it doesn't work.
And as an entrepreneur, when you find one that works, you'd go for it, right? I mean, you'd go for it.
You jump up and down, ask your buddy that co-hosts radio with you, get in.
Okay.
Ride with me for a few minutes. I'll show you something.
So, my kids will go if they get to go to Waffle House. Then they're in.
That's scattered covered chunk, man. I love it. That's an Atlanta staple, right there.
Yeah, it is an Atlanta staple.
Yeah.
So,
when we're looking at deals, I mean, a lot of people ask, like, what cap rate or what value you're buying stuff at, and it's most of the time we're buying stuff at a zero cap rate or just defunct. It's like, it doesn't even have math behind it or any good leases. So it's seeing what's there and knowing from, hey, we've done this a bunch of times. What do things look like, and what can you turn something into? Got to have a little bit of a vision to go with it and make it work.
Well, do you have partners?
Yes. I mean, I have a bunch of, you know, limited partners that invest alongside me.
Uh-huh.
And then I have general partners as well for just kind of the different asset types that I'm in. So I started the business with two other guys. One of them, you know, one of the big first deals we bought, I had two other partners, and we bought a 65,000 square foot apartment building here in Atlanta. And the one partner was like, no, I'm not doing that. And he moved to San Francisco. He bought a condo in San Francisco that costs as much as our, you know, 65,000 square foot apartment building. Granted, these things are cheap. This is way cheaper. This is like 15 years ago. Apartments were, you know, a couple dollars a square foot. That's a different price range than now.
Yeah, but do you think he paid as much rent to himself as you cash flowed on that property?
No, I think we definitely did better. But he got out there, and man, he got into just different tech companies that were starting. So he did just fine. Just a totally different industry. So.
I hear you. Well, Dave, I always talk about when my friends come on the radio show that I've hung out with before. It's like speed dating. I learn so much, and I become so much more fond of them, and hopefully vice versa, and they get to know Patrick. But, I mean, we speak the same language, so I cannot wait to go play golf and hang out for a couple of days and really continue our shop talk, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, no, I love anything that involves golf. I'm definitely in. I'm guilty of that one. I love that sport.
I do know that. Well, Give yourself a plug. How can people look you up? Where can they find you? Where can they find Greenleaf?
I mean, we're not like all over everything, but we've got our website, Greenleaf MGMT.com or Greenleaf Management. And then my company, Greenleaf, and myself are on LinkedIn. That's really the easiest way to find out what we're up to and what deals we're working on and looking at.
Well, I might start the stalking. I'm a LinkedIn your tail later. How about that?
Sounds good.
Well, thank you for being here, Dave, man. It was so cool, so fun, so educational.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks for joining us today at Home with Roby. Listen, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile on your face. Thanks for joining.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.